Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Sports.
Sports.
Get ready, sports fans. It's time for Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming worldwide on the Super Talk Mississippi app and on your Amazon Alexa devices. Chasing Foul Balls, your weekly source for all the sports news and interviews important to Southwest Mississippi. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by First Bank. And now, here's your host, Robbie Hamilton.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Our guest this morning, retired football coach Tucker Peavy, will be with us, and also the co-host of Super Talk Mississippi Sports, Michael Borky. He also does the Rebel Review here on Super Talk, so we'll talk to Michael a little bit later this morning. With us this morning, of course, the old folks crew back with us, the leader of the old folks crew, Neil Randall. How are you?
Well, I'm a week older, Robbie, and proud to be here, brother. But I'm moving better than Richard.
Somebody said you sounded like a Southern gentleman on the radio.
That was our good buddy Tommy Hart, but he's correct.
So the professor sounds like a Southern gentleman. What does that leave me and you, Richard A.?
I don't have any idea, Robbie. Just glad to be here, I guess.
Just another voice.
That's right.
Let's get to work. Got a lot to talk about this morning. First up, last night, community college football. Southwest had the chance to go 2-0, but some turnovers and penalties that got the best of them. Northeast defeat Southwest last night over at John Ihearst Stadium, 35-21. Number 7, Colean, goes to 2-0. They beat Holmes last night up in Wesson, 30-13, the final score there. NFL football underway last night. The Philadelphia Eagles got by the Cowboys, 24-20. That was a lot closer than most people thought. And also last night, let me see where I got it written. Belhaven beat Millsaps up in Jackson, 50-24. So Southwest now 1-1. They'll take on Pearl River back at home next Friday. Colead 2-0. They will make their first road trip of the year as they will head to Hines. Guys, a big weekend of college football, no doubt about that. We went from Arch Madness to Arch Sadness, I reckon, with a loss to Ohio State. What y'all's take, Neil, on the Arch Manning? Really, his first start as a college quarterback, has to do it at Ohio State. Didn't get the job done, totally got beat, but what do you think?
I think he's an outstanding talent, and I think he's going to have a great career, however long that may be at Texas. But that was a pretty tall order. First game out of the chute on the road at the Horseshoe playing Ohio State. I think he'll be fine, but that was asking an awful lot, I think.
Hey, Robbie, I agree with Neil. I just thought it was a lot to ask, as he said. But the one thing was, you know, they only lost by 7 points. I mean, Ohio State only crossed the 50-yard line twice. But, yes, when you're playing, as we said last week, a lot of people changed on Ohio State, but they're still Ohio State at home. And they probably threw some things at Arch that he probably wasn't quite ready for at this point in time. But I always say you can only do something once for the first time. Well, he's done it. Now, next week is experience. He's got a team that they should handle fairly easily. He'll get some confidence, and I think he'll be fine.
Most surprised from Saturday football, Ohio State over Texas, LSU over Clemson, or Florida State over Alabama? Richard?
Oh, that's real easy, Robbie. It's not just Florida State over Alabama. It's how they did it. I just was – what part of that game I saw, Alabama just looked like they were in disarray. Florida State looked like the way better team on the field.
Well, and they proved it for sure.
You got the same pick, Neil?
Oh, yeah, I really do. That was a shocker to me. And, of course, that's down at Florida State. But I thought Alabama would come out and give a better account of themselves. But one word I heard to describe Alabama's performance was lethargic, which goes back to the coaching staff.
Which goes to the next question. How hot is the Alabama coaching seat after one game?
What was his name on Good Morning Vietnam? Robin Williams. It's hot. Damn hot.
I don't know if you could be any hotter sitting on the sun right now. I mean, that.
Yeah, but he's got a $70 billion buyout.
Well, but that didn't make his seat not hot.
No, but that has to cool the seat a little bit.
That not to the Alabama folks.
No, I don't care come who up you with, are, $70 billion just to buy a coach out?
I'd say we're going to buy him out. U.S. is, you know,
I know, I'm just saying it, though. It has to make the seat a little cooler. Sitting there holding that $70 billion contract.
Maybe for him it does, but everybody else and all the so-called...
Don't think Alabama can't come up with
No. No, they can come
calls.
Up with it. Yes.
Yes, sir.
High school football got started on Friday. Jackson Prep, Park Lane at Park Lane. Park Lane beats Prep for the first time in 31 consecutive games. He's broke that 31-game losing streak. So Park Lane off the snide.
And good for them. It's a long time coming. As Reese and I have watched them many a time for about 20-plus years, it was a lot of good games in there, but we never could get over the hump. But hats off to the Pioneers for taking care of business.
Big winners, Park Lane, McComb, Brookhaven got a big win. A Mid County skunked Provine, Neil.
Mid County, they play pretty good football. They're usually in the playoffs. Provine is not the Provine that we knew way back when, and we won't say how far back that was. But congratulations to the Mid County Trojans.
Centerville keeps on winning, and Columbia defeated Hartsville last Friday night up at Hartsville in a real close ball game. That would be a good game. Let's see, top 10 in college football. Just about everybody, the main three polls have the top three the same. The Yahoo Sports poll, AP and coaches poll has Ohio State 1, Penn State 2, and sitting at number three, can't even read ball right. That's bad. LSU. Then you have Georgia and Michigan. Then you have that's in the Yahoo, the AP poll, and the coaches poll. They have LSU and Oregon sitting there, so a little bit different. Ole Miss is at 20. In the Yahoo Sports poll, they had 14 in both AP and coaches poll. Alabama dropped all the way to 21 in the Yahoo Sports poll. They dropped to 20 in the AP and the coaches poll. Any surprise to the top three, Ohio State, Penn State, and LSU?
Oh, I don't think so, Robbie. I think that was pretty easy after the results of the first weekend. But it's a long 12-game season, and a lot of things can happen. A lot of unexpected things can happen or will happen.
Ole Miss at 20 and 14. Richard, what do you think? Surprised are they that high or that low?
No, I probably think they're about where I thought they might would be. They moved up a few in one poll and pretty much stayed the same in the other. And, you know, this week's a big, big test. We'll speak to Michael Borky here shortly about that weekend. But they could go on the road and beat a pest of them lately as far as getting by Kentucky. If they can get over that hump, they might move up a little bit further, but I think it's about where they should be.
HBCU poll, the Power 10, Jackson State sits at number one in that poll. And one final thing before we go to Tucker Peavy, the NCAA Oversight Committee voted to support the transfer window will be in January annually, 10 days starting January the 2nd. That will be the only time of the year for the transfer portal. Neil, that's one of the things you've been hollering about. Glad to see it being kind of centralized to one time in one place.
Well, I'm glad that the NCAA is trying to get a handle on that. I think it may help, but you know, when the bull's out of the barn, it's hard to put him back in, isn't it, Richard?
Bulls, plural. Yeah. You're exactly right. I was thinking of wild horses, but
close enough.
Doesn't matter. Close enough. The thing that I liked, Robbie, is they took it and moved it away from the signing date. That was the big thing, is he had the opening of the portal right before signing date, or vice versa. I don't remember which one. It changes all the time, but now you've got a set time, you do it, and once it's pretty much done. So I think that's a good
move. It's pretty much done until somebody challenges.
Exactly. You're right, Neil.
Final question before we go to Tucker Peavy. It was TCU really working on North Carolina and Bill Belichick in his first game. Neil, surprised at how that one happened?
Well, I guess I was to some extent, but I didn't know much about North Carolina other than Bill Belichick was the new head coach and Jamie Collins was his linebacker coach. But TCU's been a pretty stout program for several years, but I don't think they were ranked. But they went into North Carolina and spanked the Tar Heels.
It sure did. I guess the thing that got me was how do you get 70 players in a short period of time to all finally come together playing a team that's, you know, TCU's been pretty good for the last 4 or 5 years, as long as Sonny Dykes has been there. And so the outcome of the game, I guess, surprised me more than TCU going in there and winning. But North Carolina did not look good.
Tucker Peavy comes up next here on Chasing Foul Balls. We'll talk to him about a little high school and junior college football right after this. Underway Friday morning here on Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Don't forget North Pike football tonight here on Super Talk. Pretty interesting matchup, Neil. North Pike and Wesson. Coach Loy and that wide open Wesson offense ought to be an exciting game out of John Ihearst Stadium.
Well, at least it'll be a lot drier field than they had over at Mullen Stadium last Friday night.
Join us on the phone. Retired head football coach from Brookhaven, Coach Tucker Peavy. Still doing the interview this morning from the recliner, huh?
No, not quite.
Not quite. When you retired, I thought you took all the phone calls from the recliner.
No, I got to stay busy. I can't still.
Let me ask you the first question. What's the hardest thing to do now that you see the season start? What was the hardest thing to get through with the season getting underway at high school, community college, even college football?
Hold on. Repeat this. I'm having trouble hearing you.
What was the hardest thing for you to have to get used to now that you're retired with the start of the high school and the community college and the college football season?
Just the schedule change, you know. It, I guess, especially this time of the year, it's 7 days a week, kind of nonstop, and so that's probably the biggest adjustment.
One of the reasons you wanted to retire was to give a chance to get to watch your grandson play football. It's the first game tonight.
Yeah, they open their season in Louisiana tonight, so we'll be there watching.
Coach Peavy, Neil Randall, congratulations on your retirement and a great career.
Well, thank you.
My question is to you, as you look back on your career and you've had a little time to reflect, who were the influences on your career from the beginning?
Well, I think it started with my coaches in high school and college and then certainly guys that I worked with early in my career that kind of, I guess, molded my philosophies and things that I wanted to do. So probably a lot of people along the way.
Coach Peavy, this is Richard Hay. You'd be visiting with your grandson tonight watching him play. And I guess my question is what are the things that you say to him before the game, if you do? And then how do you process the game being a former coach? Do you coach it along with him? Do you think about it, or are you just watching your grandson play?
Well, I try to just watch him play. but sometimes we talk a little more than that about details and that type thing. But, you know, it's just today wishing him good luck and try to stay out of the way and be a grandpa and not a coach.
Coach Peavy, it's Neil again. What do you think you're going to miss most about not being on the sidelines and coaching as you head into retirement?
Yeah, I just think it's the people, the relationship, players, your coaching staff, and you know, to me, that's the thing I'll miss the most. It's been a long time since, I think this will be the second year since I was 10 years old that I wasn't part of a team, so that's been a while.
What's your thoughts of the Brookhaven Panthers football team after their opening game win?
Well, I mean, obviously, they dominated the game and thought they played well. And, you know, the schedule set up so that they get some good tests before the district play starts. But I thought overall they played pretty well. I was there for the first half, and, you know, I'm pulling for them. They got a chance to be a really good football team, and there's a lot of factors that go into that, not just in your building, but, you know, you never know what the other schools have. So it takes a lot of luck and a lot of hard work to get there.
Coach Peavy, Richard Hay once again. Your time spent here at Southwest, you were in the college ranks and you dealt with college young men coming in and playing and trying to move on to four-year schools. What are your thoughts about this whole transfer portal and where we are nowadays with the pretty much the free movement of players up and down? What do you, when you sit back and kind of process it, what are your thoughts about it?
I don't like it. I don't know. I think it's changing college football, and it may never go back again. And, you know, the old days of you go somewhere and you work hard to earn your spot seem to be kind of gone now. And so everybody thinks they can go somewhere else and have an easier path, and I just don't see how that's good in the long run.
Coach, it's Neil again. You've coached at all levels, as Robbie mentioned a minute ago. You won a state championship in Brookhaven, I think, back in 04. Who are some of the players, outstanding players, that you've been associated with that stick in your mind?
Well, you know, certainly in college there were, you know, guys that went on and played in the NFL. And, you know, the thing you want to see is that guys better themselves no matter where you're at. And been fortunate to have a bunch of those through the years, and certainly that 04 team with Jimmy Johns and Jesse Bowman and, good grief, a whole bunch of them that, you know, those are the kind of things you don't ever forget.
Coach Peavy, as you spend time this season, what will be some things that you look forward to? You know, maybe you've never probably been able, if you're a deer hunter or do you fish, or when football season is over and you're not moving right into something else as a football coach does,
right?
What you do with that free time at that point in time?
Well, a lot of it's been working around the house. I hadn't done much fishing or anything. we bought a house back in April, and seems like every time you turn around, there's something to do. So been staying pretty busy with that as well.
What's he saying? Is he doing what Bobby tells him to do?
I was reading between the lines right there.
Yeah, I have a list. Yeah.
Yeah. Arch Madness to Arch Sadness after the game against Texas. What's your feelings of Arch Manning as a quarterback?
Well, I think he's a good player, a great player, and I hope he comes back this week and blows the doors off. You know, that's a hard spot to be in. Ohio State's a pretty good program.
What about the Alabama loss to Florida State? What do you feel about the way the Alabama fans reacted?
Well, I figured they would react like that, but, you know, Florida State, But they didn't just start playing football there yesterday. So Alabama played a pretty tough team. But certainly their standards are high, and they'll get back to it, I think.
When you look at the – Richard asked you earlier about the portal and the fact that they have voted waiting for approval to move it to January, and it'll be 10 days starting on January the 2nd. Do you think that's a better position to be after the signing date?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I really do. It's a hard thing to manage. I talk to coaches all the time that are having to deal with it, and it's just hard for them to manage it all. So I don't know what the answer is. I know for some kids, they certainly better themselves. I can think back to the times when I was coaching at UL Monroe or Lafayette. And we had guys that were really, really good players. They wouldn't have finished their careers with us. They'd have went on to bigger schools. So, I think that's maybe the only positive part of it is a kid can better themselves.
Bill Belichick tried to bring in 70 new players in North Carolina, and the first game against TCU didn't go too well for him. What do you feel about these coaches bringing so many new players in?
It's hard to bring that many people together that quickly. I think the teams that get a few that sprinkle in with the basic group of guys they got are probably the ones that do the best.
Well, you're sitting at home on Wednesday afternoon and it's 95 degrees outside. Do you really miss that high school football practice?
Not all the time. No, it's I actually am working with a buddy of mine here in Brookhaven that's got a construction business, and so I don't do a whole lot of sitting around, but it is a lot more relaxed than it used to be.
When you had to go see the grandson play?
Say it again?
When you headed out to go see the grandson?
Well, we'll leave this afternoon once school's out. My wife is still teaching school, and so we'll be ready to go as soon as she gets through.
Coach, thanks for joining us on this Friday morning on Chasing Foul Balls. Good luck to your grandson, and good luck to you.
I appreciate y'all. I've enjoyed visiting with you guys through the years. Y'all do a great job.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Coach Tucker Peavy, now retired head football coach of the Brookhaven Panthers. We'll come back. We'll talk to Michael Borky right after this.
Sports.
And now sports.
You're listening to Chasing Foul Balls on Supertalk Pike County 93.5 and streaming everywhere on the Supertalk Mississippi app. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by First Bank and brought to you by East Macomb Body Shop and Guy's Pharmacy. Now back to Chasing Foul Balls on Supertalk Pike County 93.5.
Well, welcome back. Chasing Foul Balls, Supertalk Pike County. Glad to have you with us on this Friday morning. High School Football Friday again. A full slate of games happening tonight. Don't forget North Pike and Wesson out at John Hurst Stadium here on the campus of Southwest Mississippi Community College. You can hear that game right here on Super Talk Pike County. Join us on the phone, the co-host of Super Talk Mississippi and also the host for the Rebel Rewind podcast, Michael Borky. How are you, Michael?
Man, I'm doing great on this Friday. How are you guys?
All right. I've got a full slate on Friday. You doing Hartfield now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, they suffered a tough loss last week. Lost by just 1 point on their home field. They had a fumble that it was just quarterback was switching the ball from his right hand to his left hand and just dropped the ball on deep in Columbia territory, too, and they ended up losing. But it's a good team, and they have a big one tonight with MRA. I mean, that is they have become the two powerhouses in the area, and they're about to duke it out tonight. So I'm looking forward to it.
That ought to be a good one, no doubt about that. Last week, Ole Miss, a big winner. Expected to be that way. What did you read out of the Ole Miss win?
Very little. And that's a compliment to the program, actually. So what I've been talking about this week on the show is, if this was 2005, I would have had a different reaction to this version, the 2025 version of Ole Miss football. They took care of business, of course, but that is exactly what they're supposed to do against the Sun Belt team. And it wasn't quote-unquote perfect, and that's another compliment to the program. I think that if you are trying to take too much away from that game, it's a bad move, because this is a team and a program that has playoff aspirations now on an annual basis, and so we should look beyond the result against Georgia State. It gets real tomorrow, and now we're really going to learn about this team. We don't know much still yet. We know they're talented. We know they're well coached, but how good are they? We'll find out tomorrow.
Michael, this is Richard Hay, and first off, I want to say how much I enjoy listening to you and Hey Dad and sometimes Richard Cross on Sports Talk in the afternoon, and just take the opportunity to say how much I enjoy it. My question is about tomorrow. If Ole Miss goes up there and they win easily, what does that say? If they go up there and struggle and win, and what if they? Where does it set them, depending on how the outcome is, for what they aspire to during the season?
Well, if they go up there and they play well and they dominate, then you shift the conversation, I think, to the path to make the playoffs. I mean, this is a Kentucky team that has a style of play that has been kind of a thorn in the side of Ole Miss lately. They want to try to play a game in a phone booth. They really want to try to slow the pace down. And if Ole Miss can overcome that, especially in Austin Simmons' first start on the road, and have a comfortable win, then that's what the conversation becomes, is this team has an opportunity to make the playoff, especially with how the schedule sets up. If they go up there and they struggle, and the struggle is because of, you know, turnovers from Simmons and things like that, then okay, that's just growing pains with a young quarterback. But if they get dominated up front again like they did a year ago, you've got real problems. And if you look at what LSU presents on the defensive line in particular, what South Carolina presents up front, what Georgia obviously is going to present up front, Florida's got better players than Kentucky in their front six, Oklahoma's got better ones than Kentucky. If Kentucky controls the line of scrimmage, then the prospects of making the playoff is low, regardless if they find a way to win the game or not. And if they lose, it's a disaster. Even though they're only a 9-point favorite now, coming off of what happened a year ago and the way they've talked about that game this week and how it has really shaped the way that they've prepared for this game, if they go and lose that one again, it's kind of an indictment on Kiffin.
Michael, this is Neil Randall. Again, we enjoy listening to you guys on Mississippi Sports Talk. But let's talk about the Ole Miss defense. You know, we've heard the old adage so many times that offense brings people to the games and defense wins championships. And I thought last year that the Ole Miss defense was superb. And I thought they were a little overlooked overshadowed by a high powered offense. Talk a little bit about where you think the Ole Miss defense is at this point.
Yeah, I would argue that they had the best front six in the sport a year ago. And all but two of the regular players, starters anyway, are gone, obviously, off to the NFL, four defensive linemen and an All-American linebacker, all playing in the NFL now. But what they left behind was still a really talented group. The only downside is a lack of experience. I think Xavier Harris has a chance to play himself into the first round. To be able to move the way he does at his size is shocking. I mean, he is every bit of 6'7", 340 pounds, but he carries that weight well, and he moves well, and he's really explosive. A different player than Walter Nolan, but replacing Nolan, they've done a heck of a job, and he played a lot last year too, of course, but he's a beast, and I think that there's first-team all-SEC caliber stuff in his game. A lot of unproven elsewhere, though. Womack looked good, the LSU transfer, and explosive. Cam Franklin did as well. But they've got a lot to prove this week. I mean, it's a group that has not been tested in this way yet. And, look, they're really talented, but this is a Kentucky team that's going to test their manhood a little bit. And can those defensive linemen, including Harris, but the rest of them, and Dottery at linebacker, and whoever's going to play next to him, whether it's Dave Yates or Taj Chambers, they're going to have to play physical in this game. And they're going to have to line up and stop the run, because Kentucky's going to slow the pace down and just kind of run right at you. They haven't been tested like this yet in their young career, and we're going to find out if these guys are prepared for it. They're talented enough to do it, but it's different when you're asked to actually go and do it as the starter, because those guys have not been that yet.
So the last four games between Kentucky and Ole Miss been decided by 3 points or less. Do you look for that same kind of game this Saturday?
Early, I do. I think it should be a bit of a slog. And the style of play thing is so important in this game, because that's what Kentucky wants this to be. I mean, they want a game where there are 6 or 7 possessions for each offense only. I mean, they really want to play this game in the teens and just really limit possessions. And if they're capable of doing that, then absolutely it can be that. Ole Miss is going to have to be patient, I think, tomorrow. That's the biggest thing for Austin Simmons, is patience, because Kentucky is really going to try to limit their opportunities. And I don't think Ole Miss a year ago responded well to early adversity, especially in their losses. If it didn't go well early, they started pressing, and then one mistake turned into 2 and 3 and 4. And Kentucky's style of play can kind of force that mentality on you. If you throw an interception, it might be 8 minutes before you get the ball back. And that can compound your mistakes. So patience for Ole Miss has got to be the biggest thing. They're the better team. They're more talented. But if they don't respond to the pace and the possibility of early adversity, then you get into a rock fight, and that's how Kentucky beats you.
Michael, Richard Hay once again. Who's the player on Monday when we're listening to Sports Talk, if Ole Miss has a good win, who's the player that we don't know of today or first-name basis that y'all will be talking about that had a big game that pushed the Rebels over the hump and got the win?
It's kind of a cop-out, because fans do know who he is, but I think that Daquan Wright can have a really big game for Ole Miss in this one. He is such a mismatch, especially when if Kentucky's going to try to really stack the box and stop the run, these little tight end slips that this Lane Kiffin offense does can be so effective, especially for a defense trying to play downhill. And I don't think Kentucky's got anybody. Very few teams are going to have somebody that can cover him adequately. And so I really think Ole Miss is going to exploit that mismatch with Daquan Wright. He looks really good. I think he's lost a little bit of weight from last year as well. But you saw it a little bit in the Georgia State game. They are able to scheme tight ends open in this offense. And he's physical, and he'll play close to the line of scrimmage. But, man, he's got sure hands, and he's a really good route runner and a smart player. And so I think this style of game really favors the tight end anyway, but especially in this offense, I think Daquan Wright's going to be the player of the game, and we'll be talking about him on Monday the most.
Michael, this is Neil again. View of the loss last year in Oxford to Kentucky, and considering the transfer portal and the new players, I hate to use the word revenge, but do you think the Ole Miss players are well aware of the loss last year?
No, they have made it a point within the facility anyway. There's signage, there's pictures, there's all that stuff from last year. And T.J. Dottery, their captain on defense, talked about it. He said, "I still have a bad taste in my mouth. It's been a year, and I have not forgotten about how it felt walking off the field that day." So they're very well aware of it, and I think it can go one of two ways. You could have an overemphasis on a game that causes you to play tight and almost feel overwhelmed by the expectations to avenge that loss, or you could have a team that plays really fired up and angry, and a coach that is sick of hearing about Kentucky last year, and they play their best game. You've seen that before. Last year, remember, Ole Miss went into the Georgia game having heard for an entire year about how sadly, Georgia beat them in Athens, and it wasn't close, and it was an embarrassing loss, and it showed you how far apart the two programs are. And they spent time, more time on the Georgia game last year than any other game. Lane Kiffin himself admitted that. I have a feeling you have a similar sentiment going into this game, that they are embarrassed about what happened on the field a year ago, just like they were embarrassed about that result in 23 in Athens, and that they are motivated to avenge that loss. And, I mean, if it works like it did in the Georgia game, they're going to play their best game of the year, because that's what they did a year ago. So they're aware of it. They have not been able to escape it for 365 days. And we'll see if they can turn that into a win.
Well, we've talked about the patchy game of Ole Miss, but last week, Missouri transfer QY Lacy, 108 yards, 3 touchdowns. How important for the Rebels is to get the running game going?
They can't be one-dimensional in this game, because they were a year ago, and they really did a lot of long-developing pass plays last year, and it didn't really fit with how the game was going anyway. Kentucky's defensive front was getting after Jackson Dart with relative ease, and so I don't think they can approach this game that way as well. But Lacy is... it's somebody that they loved in recruiting, and they just finished second in recruiting, but they end up getting him as a transfer anyway. He is the back that they were missing on last year's team. He's got top-end speed. He's got balance, good vision. He's a complete back. And even though I think that Kentucky's front six is going to give Ole Miss a lot of problems, having a guy like him that can turn like contact at the line of scrimmage into even just 2 yards, just forward momentum in the running game, as opposed to last year where Parrish was a good back, but he was small and could not get the physical tough yards to help keep an offense on schedule. Lacy and Diggs as well can do that, and they're going to need them to do that, because Kentucky is going to have success, especially early, in controlling the line of scrimmage, I think. And so what's a great equalizer? Having a back that can escape that first tackle, that can run forward for turn a negative 1 yard gain into a 2 yard gain. And he's the kind of back that can do that. And they're going to need him to do that to help, you know, just everything. Settle the game in, keep your young quarterback on schedule. And I think they've got the guy that can do that.
Michael, Neil again. What do you think about the rankings right now? Do you think number 20 is pretty good for Ole Miss at this point?
I think it's fine. What bothers me about the rankings is not Ole Miss being at 20. There's still a lot to prove with them, right? The young quarterback, a lot of new faces on defense, and things like that. I get why they're ranked 20. What I don't understand is how, like, Alabama remains ranked, or how you have teams that won these games, like Miami, ranked behind teams that lost their first game. How Penn State can somehow be number 2 when they've only played Nevada, and so on and so forth. These early rankings are fun to talk about, but the process for which the AP goes through voting in the early polls always makes my eyes roll. Like Utah is another team. I mean, they looked incredible on the road on Saturday, and their ranking is not reflective at all of what that team can be and what they look like. So Ole Miss being at 20 is fine. I have a big problem with the poll in general. And as the season goes on, of course, it gets sorted out. But you can see, based on the other rankings, that the AP voters, I don't think, did a good job this week.
Week 1 of college football. Michael, were you more surprised with Ohio State over Texas, LSU over Clemson, or Florida State over Alabama?
Florida State over Alabama, for sure. I mean, Ohio State has one of, if not the best defensive player on arguably the best defense in college football. So Arch Manning making his first road start in that kind of environment, going up against a defensive genius in Matt Patricia, him struggling, but that's not a surprise at all. Clemson and LSU played in a bit of a rock fight. I was surprised at how bad Klubnik looked, but them winning that game is not surprising at all. Florida State beating Alabama shouldn't surprise people. In fact, I actually picked Florida State to win that game on the show last Friday.
But what surprised me is how pathetic, and I'm using that word without hyperbole, Alabama looks. I mean, I am so surprised that Kalen DeBoer has a team that looks so out of focus, because before he got to Alabama, he was elite everywhere. I mean, you don't take Washington to the national championship game without being a great coach. He turned Fresno State around in 2 years. I mean, I know it's Sioux Falls or wherever he was in the NAIA, but he's a championship-winning coach. And for him to have a team that loafs the way they do, that is so poor in tackling, that is so unphysical, and then even things like in the pregame, all these players are stretching and warming up with their cell phones in their hands. And it's like that is emblematic of poor culture. If you've got players messing around on their phones during pregame warm-ups. So I'm surprised it's gotten to this level. And them getting embarrassed by Florida State is the most surprising result of week one.
Final question. I noticed that you suffer like I do the fact that you're a Pelican fans and NBA basketball. How did you get to be a Pelicans fan, and what do you think about the year?
I have the worst how you became a fan story of all time. So I grew up in upstate South Carolina is where I grew up, and I came to Mississippi for college, and then obviously I've lived here ever since. And so when I got hired at SuperTalk in September of 2014, I got the only apartment that I could afford, and it was a little 520-square-foot apartment in Flowood. And it came with a basic cable package, and I didn't upgrade because I couldn't afford to upgrade. And one of the 14 channels that it came with was Fox Sports New Orleans. And I didn't have an NBA team. I didn't have an NFL team. And I had been to New Orleans a dozen times or so when I was in college, and I loved the city. And I just decided, you know what? I don't have an NBA team. I don't have an NFL team. I might as well just be a fan of these guys. I like the city, and I can only watch them play, so I might as well just be a fan. And I've fallen in love with the teams ever since. Unfortunately so, but I am committed at this point, and there's no turning back now.
Takes a lot of patience to be a Pelicans fan, don't it?
Oh, no doubt. But you know, I've really liked Trey Murphy a lot. I think that the roster itself is actually a lot better than people in the NBA give it credit for. The question is always health. I mean, that's the thing. Can Zion stay healthy? And, I mean, the answer has never been yes. But when he plays, he's unbelievable. That's what's so frustrating is people keep calling him a bust. And from a health perspective, yes, he is. From a playing, when he is on the court, he is absolutely everything that everybody thought that he could be. And so that's what's so frustrating. It's not like a Greg Oden situation where when he could play, it wasn't good. When he plays, he's an elite player that you can win championships with. It's just they can't keep him on the court, and it is so frustrating. But I actually do like a lot of what they have. Misi was a great draft pick last year. I think in time he'll become a pretty high-quality center. I mean, I really like the shooting now that they've built around Zion, if he can stay healthy. I still have a lot of questions, like a lot of people, about Willie Green, the coach. But there's a chance it's not as bad as people think it'll be.
The co-host of Super Talk Mississippi Sports and also the Rebel Report podcast, Michael Borky, joined us today. Michael, thanks for taking the time to be with us on this Friday morning. And good luck with your game tonight.
Of course, guys, anytime.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. We'll come back. Rich Dundry next. Texas Foul Ball, Radio Cooper Talk, Pike County. Big Daddy Rich Dundry joined us. All right, give us your take of last Saturday's football game.
Oh, Robbie, obviously a little disappointed, but not down. I mean, I thought we played a heck of a good half and just didn't have quite the horses to run in the second half, and a few mistakes here, fumble, turnover, and missed a few tackles. I thought we were hung around for that's what we had hoped to do. All in all, it's so much better than what we've seen the last couple of years. But I think a lot of us thought this might be the year we pull off something. So, you know, that's expectations is what all starter football is about, and I think ours were higher than they should have been.
What do you see Saturday with Jackson State coming to town?
Well, I think Jackson State, you know, poses, well, they probably, without sure, the, without question, the best football champion series team we've ever had in Hattiesburg. They propose us a problem, I'm sure, and hopefully our size and our talent level will impose its will sooner or later on them, but it could be a very, very close start.
Reese, this is Richard. Taking away the quarterback, I think Braylon Braxton in the first half was all that everybody's billed him to be. But what other group did you see a real improvement in from the Eagles?
Well, I thought the offensive line blocked really pretty good in the run game. We were able to run between the tackles pretty good, and you know, that's something we couldn't do at all last year. I thought with pass protection was pretty good, and the defensive line played well at times. And I don't know about linebackers; it's hard to tell how well they flowed, but you know, State's got some real talented wide receivers, some long guys, and they beat us on the corner down there in the end zone where I said was just simply the receiver being taller than the defensive back. But that's football.
What about Park Lane beating a 31-game losing streak to Jackson Prep last Friday?
Quite an accomplishment for Ron Rushing. You know, Ron, in my opinion, Ron's one of the really good guys in the coaching business, and he's really turned Park Lane back into a pretty good football power. And I'm so proud of him, and, you know, it's been a long time, 30 years or so, since they beat Jackson Prep, and they didn't just beat them; they kind of manhandled them a little bit, which you don't ever see Prep get the handle like that, I don't think.
When do you leave to go to Hattiesburg?
We'll pull out this afternoon, about 2 or 3 o'clock, in the Marvee, and go over and get set up in my place and get ready for the weekend.
So the Big Daddy Mobile will be on the move again, huh?
Oh yeah. That's what we bought it for.
Well, good luck Saturday against Jackson State. Enjoy talking with you this morning, and we'll see you next Friday, Big Daddy.
Y'all take care.
Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk Pike County. Glad to have you with us on this Friday morning. We'll see you next Friday.
I just found my baby, and I want to get a chance to hold her. So don't turn out the lights. The party ain't over. Everybody's really having fun, so shake it loose and let it come undone. There's only one thing that I wanna do, and that's to dance the night away with you. I've been working hard all week long, and I'm not ready to be going home. Turn up the music, keep the lights down low. I know it's late, but I don't wanna go. Don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. Well, the band just started to play my favorite song. I just found my baby and I wanna get a chance to hold her. So don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. Just want a little time to dance, and tomorrow we can
can sleep all day. Before the night, I'll let the music play. Remember how it used to be. I love the way that you would dance with me. Rocking and rolling till the clock unwinds. And then we'd holler out one more time. Don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. Well, the band just started to play my favorite song. I just found my baby and I wanna get a chance to hold her. So don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. The party ain't over.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.